Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dearly beloved. We are gathered here today for this broadcast. This is episode 56, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, please make sure to have a Bible. Open your Bible. I don't care if it's electronic or if it's a physical Bible, something. Just follow along with us as we read the scriptures. There's something that comes alive when you see the words and hear them. We want to make sure that you also make sure you have a pen ready, because we're going to have time just to take notes, to have key scriptures and different things, and make sure to have something to write on so you'd be prepared for today's word. Before we get started, I want to pass the baton to Rabbi John, and I just pray that he will open us up, get us started, and get us excited for today's word, and then we'll continue with our Torah blessing with Pastor Doug. So at this time, I'll pass it to you, Rabbi.
Amen. Father, we seek for you. We desire you. We, like a deer that panteth after the waters, Father, we desire early in the morning to hear your voice, to understand what you're desiring of us, and to praise you, to glorify you, to magnify the name of the Lord, not just the name, but all the names that you have, that you be Yahuwah Yireh, that you be our provider, Father God, that you be Yahuwah Makedesh, that you be our sanctification. Sanctify us in our innermost being, Father. That you be Yahuwah Rohi, Father God. That you be the shepherd that leads us. That you guide us, Father. That we be not goats, but be sheep, so that we can be led by you. Father, there's many more, and before we go off, before I go off into those, I desire to ask you to forgive us and to forgive me for sin, iniquity, and transgression, to wash me, to cleanse me, to purify me by the blood of Yahushua, to hide me in your path, in your Torah, in the pathway of righteousness, for your namesake, for the promises that you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Yeshua, because you are faithful, because your word is sure, and because you are our Father in heaven, and we are your offspring. Father, I choose to forgive those who have sinned against me and against my family, and I definitely thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing in me, all the way to the third and the fourth generation of my forefathers, cleansing and purifying all those mistakes as well in the name of Yeshua. We look forward, and I look forward to hear and to know what your word says for us today. Father, you are more than aware that we are approaching perilous times. And we know that your word lifts us high, not just where we belong, but in your hiding place. So we long to be there. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen and amen. I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. Amen, Reverend. I agree with that prayer very much. Thank you, sir. At this time, we're going to have our before Torah study blessing by Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yahuwah Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us again. As we get into our recap this week, we have a beautiful, very rich subject that we're recapping today, and that's the correlation between the New Jerusalem, the bride, and the ancient Jewish wedding. If I could summarize and put it in a nutshell, that's what I would label last week's episode, and especially the rich components of the ancient Jewish wedding. They are very rich concerning everything entirely of God's word, from the prophets all the way to the renewed covenant or the New Testament writings, including the book of Revelation. So it is a very overarching and very deep subject. One of the things I want to start off with before we get into the scriptures is a brief quote from the end of last week's broadcast. And it kind of ties into why do we discuss this during the perilous times. And Rabbi, you'd said that these be perilous times for a reason, for the bride to make herself ready and so that the world can repent and become brides, for those who desire and truly want the redemption that the bridegroom provides. I thought that was just a very poignant and very succinct summation of why are we discussing the ancient Jewish wedding? What does it do for me? What value does it have for me? And there's so much in every way. I remember last week discussing how this topic in and of itself is one of the grand hopes that we have, that we will be with the bridegroom and enjoy the pleasure of the world to come. We talked about one of the first scriptures we read was Revelation chapter 21. And we started off just describing parts of the New Jerusalem, the 12 gates, the 12 pearls, and each a gate having its own pearl in the street, the Broadway of the city being pure gold, like transparent glass or crystal. And it was a beautiful picture, and it shows the great lengths with which the Father has put into and had a creative expression with this New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth when it comes together. We learn that the former things pass away, the old heaven, the old earth, death and sorrow pass away. There'll be no more tears. They wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And that's another thing that we get to look forward to, this time when everything is made right, when everything is whole and nothing is missing, which is a very simple description of what true shalom is. Whenever I talk about the word shalom, I imagine like a very smooth ball where there's no bump and nothing dented, and it's just whole. Everything is all together. And that's a description of what we get to look forward to as well. We talked about John, chapter 3, verse 29. And we talked about how John was preparing the way for the bride, John the Baptist, that is. And he said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. And we real quick made a reference to Ephesians. It talked about the glorious church without spot. And this is the bride. Now, the bride is the church without spot. So if there is a church with spot, that is not the bride. So that's something that is a very a hard word, but it's a truth, and we need to make sure that we understand what the parameters and what the guidelines are for qualification for the New Jerusalem, qualifications for the bride, and to be a part of the ancient Jewish wedding with our bridegroom, if that so fits. And we talked about the Hebraic concept in general of the ancient Jewish wedding with its engagement period, or the shidduchim, the prenuptial, I should say, shidduchim, prenuptial agreement, and it goes into the irushin, and then following after that, the nisuin. So there are three different stages. We won't get into all that at this moment, but we have a pre-engagement, an engagement, or betrothal period, which we see throughout Scripture, and we have then the final stage, the nisuin, which is very pertinent to us as believers because it literally means the carrying away. So we have a foreshadow, if you will, of our being gathered together, being carried away with him, our bridegroom. We looked at John chapter 14, another encouraging section, where Yahushua, the bridegroom, says for us not to be troubled. Okay, not to be troubled, let our heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful, coming from John 14, verses 26 through 27. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he talks about how in his Father's kingdom there are many mansions, but he's saying specifically, I'm going, not he, is Yeshua, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place we understand to be that New Jerusalem. And when we do see it finally coming down, we see it proceeding. There's like a processional, like the wedding procession. But we have to keep in mind that the New Jerusalem comes down after the millennium. So there's already been a wedding feast. But the grand consummation of everything, when it talks about that the dwelling place of God is now with man, when everything comes together and all is fulfilled, as we talked about fulfilled last week, specifically with Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, excuse me, 2 weeks ago. We have to understand that fulfillment and all of the prophets, the Torah and the prophets being fulfilled, everything coming together, there's a climax at the end of the millennium. So that's something else that we want to point towards and make sure we have a clear distinction with. But finally, when we get down to Revelation chapter 7, and starting with verse 13, we see a picture, again, of all those who have come out of the great tribulation. And the Apostle John asked, you know, to the angel that was with him, who are these? Oh, no, excuse me, the angel asked John, who are these? And John said to the angel, you know. And he said, these are they which have made, clothed themselves in the white robes. They've made themselves ready. They've come out of the great tribulation. So we have this picture of those who have made themselves ready, going all the way back to the discussion of the bride who has made herself ready. So we're at a point in time in history where we see all the more the importance of getting ourselves together and preparing ourselves to make sure that there is no spot or wrinkle and that we can truly be that glorious church, as mentioned by Paul in Ephesians, without spot. And it just, Rabbi, as I pass it to you, it just reminds me of how the bride is in the preparation stage before a wedding, making sure to get the hair right and make sure that the dress is in order. And it brings me back real quick to that thought that our adornment ought to be that of the inward, not just of the braiding of the hair or the accessories, so to speak, but our preparation ought to be inside first. So I'll pass it back to you.
Amen. And I believe that's found in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you could go there, you know, to begin to codify for us the importance, because the apostles were very much aware of this ancient Jewish wedding. They were aware of what it took to actually to prepare a wedding and to be in the wedding and to actually go through all of the different steps that was talked about, the shidduchim and you seeing, you know, and the nisuin. You know, they knew these things. They knew the different components within those different periods and stages. So it's important for us to be aware and to know, because we will be held accountable. We are being held accountable for those. Whether we are aware of them or not is not the question, because this goes back to Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, where those that were worthy, those that understood the protocol,
and Rabbi, I don't know if you're still there. For those of you who are still listening, we're going to go ahead and hold off on that real quick. I will go to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we wait for Rabbi to come back. And we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 3 through 4. And as soon as Rabbi comes back in, we'll be able to continue that part of the conversation. But one of the things we wanted to say is this, that we need to make sure that we have an adorning of the inward aspect. And so we want to make sure that we follow this advice from 1 Peter chapter 3. It says this, whose adorning let it not be that the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'm going to read from the Amplified at this time. It says this, your adornment must not be merely external with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes. but let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, one that is calm and self-controlled, not over-anxious, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. I'm not sure if anyone can still hear me. It looks like we're having technical difficulties this morning. But if you still can, we're going to have to hold off, and we'll have to restart this session. So please bear with us as we get ready for rejoining in just a moment.